All right, now speaking with Representative Chris Dinkins of Annapolis. She's on the line with us now, returning from spring break and ready to get some important work done at the Missouri House. So, Representative, wanted to ask you about one of your bills to start off here, House Bill 552, one that we haven't spoken about before. It authorizes the conveyance of certain state property. What can you tell us about this one here today?
Yeah, that's a land conveyance bill, and we have a bridge in right outside of Ironton in Iron County on Highway 72 over Stouts Creek, and that bridge is in desperate need of replacing, and we are going to need some property to the south side of that in order to put the new bridge in, and the property that we need actually belongs to the Department of Natural Resources. So we are in the process of transferring that land from DNR to MoDOT so that we can get this infrastructure project started. And as you can imagine, MoDOT's kind of getting kind of antsy that this bill has already taken to spring break before it's really started moving, because they don't want their project to be delayed. They want to get it done, started and done before next winter. And so that bill was heard in committee earlier this week, and it was actually voted out late this afternoon. So that bill should be moving to the floor, and I don't look for that to be a problem at all to get off the House floor and moved over to the Senate.
Does this one strike you as kind of a nonpartisan bill, one that shouldn't have any issues getting passed then?
Yes. We have a lot of different conveyance bills, and they seem kind of like we shouldn't have to go through the legislative process to do it, like we ought to be able to just transfer property between departments, but it doesn't really work that way.
Right. Another bill that I wanted to speak to you about was House Bill 655, and that one continues to move forward. It's passed out of the House and actually passed to the Senate with no opposition at all, which is pretty impressive. I guess from this bill, a couple questions on it. One, how do you think it was able to get by with no opposition? And two, do you think it's maybe a result of people realizing the realness of this problem with feral hogs?
Well, I hope that that's the case. When we presented this bill in committee, we did not really have any opposition in committee, and so I asked the bill to be voted out consent. And when a bill is voted out consent, it means that there is no opposition, and then it is placed on the consent calendar on the House floor. Oftentimes when it gets to the House floor, when you have 163 members, it's a lot harder to get it voted out without any opposition. But I think that people understand. They've been hearing about this problem with the feral hogs year after year after year. And I think they're finally, you know, seeing that we have got to do something to make some changes so that we can eradicate these animals, because they are completely destroying our farmlands. And I look forward for it going over to the Senate and passing out over there, and I hope we can get it consent over there also.
And I know we've kind of talked about this before, but just to, you know, remind people, what does this bill specifically change to maybe move a little bit further towards the step of eradication of these feral hogs?
In the statute, normally at the beginning of each statute, it defines words that are terms that are going to be used in the language of the body of the bill, and this one did not define the term landowner's agent. And so there was different definitions being used between the landowners and the conservation agents, and then there was a period of time when the conservation agents changed their interpretation of what it meant. And so there was a lot of confusion going on between the parties on who could be hunting with the night vision for these feral hogs. And if I'm not sure how familiar you are with the hogs, but they mostly come out at night. So it's much easier to hunt them using the night vision or thermal imaging. But now with this language, it clearly says that a landowner's agent is anyone the landowner gives permission to. And that should be clearly defined enough that the landowner and the conservation agents all know who has permission to be on that property hunting hogs.
I see. Well, let's move on now to another bill, House Bill 763, and wanted to get your thoughts on the idea behind this one, I guess. It exempts certain schools, and I guess private schools, from the state minimum wage law requirements. I guess, what is the benefit of that, and do you support this measure?
You know, I hadn't really heard about the bill until it actually hit the floor. I wasn't in any of the committees, and it hadn't really been talked about out and about. But this bill actually just puts private schools on the same playing field as public schools. So public schools are currently exempted from the new minimum wage laws also. And a lot of times your private schools or your religious schools, you have individuals that are working there because they believe in the philosophy that's being taught in that school. They're not really working there for the money. They're working there to give back. And that was a big issue that was brought up on that, and how these small private schools could not really afford to meet that minimum wage, the new minimum wage requirements, and it was going to put a lot of them out of business. And a lot of their families and the workers, they agree that it should be kept at a wage that the school can afford to pay, because if they have to increase the minimum wage, then they're going to have to increase the tuition, and that was going to put a lot of families not able to send their kids there.
So I guess after hearing that explanation, my question would be, why do you think it wasn't like this to begin with when the minimum wage laws first changed and, as you mentioned, public schools are exempt from the changes? Why do you think private schools were originally left out?
You know, I'm not really sure. You know, like I said, I really wasn't aware of the, it didn't really come to my mind until it was brought to the floor and, you know, we started debating it. And I don't know if it was just a slip or if someone had, you know, reasons why when they originally put that in there that they left it out. We also have an exemption for small businesses, which allows small businesses who gross less than $500,000 a year to also be exempted from the new minimum wage requirements. But when you talk about tuition, you're talking about more high-dollar transactions than what you are the little mom-and-pop stores up and down Main Street.
Right. Well, Representative, sounds good. We appreciate the time and you breaking down some of these bills for us. How can people contact you with any questions or concerns they might have?
Sure. I would appreciate it if you would just give me a call at 573-751-2112. Or shoot me an email at chris.dinkins@house.mo.gov.
All right, Representative, thanks again for the time.
All right, thank you.
And that was Representative Chris Dinkins joining us on the line from District 144. Back with more next on Regional Radio.